this morning. We're thankful that you're able to be with us. I'm going to bring to you a sermon today that the seed for which was planted probably 45 years ago or more. Happened to be watching one of the religious channels and was listening to a fellow by the name of Tony Campanello or something like Campanello. He might not even be alive today. But he borrowed a sermon from another man that I since found out that the originator of it, I'll share with you his name, is S.M. Lockridge. He was the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in San Diego, California, from 1953 to 1993. And the first time I heard the first part of this, I just thought, you know, it was very moving. It's the kind of thing that just kind of sticks with you and haunts you, but you get away from it. And I don't know the reason. Maybe the Lord does, but a few weeks ago, I started thinking about that, and I regretted that I didn't have a copy of it or anything. I said, well, you know, this is the day of YouTube and everything else. I bet you I could find something there. So started looking on YouTube. Sure enough, found Tony's. He did this several times, I guess, but attached to different sermons. But I found the originator and his delivery of it, and it's very moving. I made some changes to it to make it maybe more scripturally accurate, but the moral of it is the same. And I didn't realize it 45 years ago, but I looked this up a couple of weeks ago, and it's been haunting me for a couple of weeks. The moral of what I'm about to read to you is hope. This poem, I guess you might say, recounts the events of the Friday before the crucifixion of Jesus. Didn't want to get emotional. I hope I don't, but I will a little bit. It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is sleeping. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The council is conspiring. Peter is denying. The crowd is vilifying. Pilate is struggling. They don't know. That Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary is crying. They don't know that Sunday is coming. It's Friday. The Romans are beating Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday is coming. It's Friday. Jesus is struggling to Calvary. His blood is dripping. His body is stumbling. His spirit is burdened. But today is Friday. And Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Soldiers nail their Savior's hands to the cross. They nail their Savior's feet to the cross. They raise him on the cross in the company of criminals. It's Friday. Evil is grinning. People are sinning. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. The Pharisees are celebrating what their scheming has achieved. But they don't know that it's only Friday. And Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling a separation from his Father, left alone and dying. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. The Son of God yields his spirit. Hope appears to be lost. Death appears to have won. The wages of sin have been paid, and Satan thinks he has won. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A rock is rolled into place, and soldiers stand guard. But it's only Friday, and Sunday's coming. You think about, or I do anyway, I thought about each scene of that poem. And it occurred to me that each of these is a expression of hope. To instill hope within us. On Sunday, a few weeks later, the first gospel sermon was preached. As Peter explains that the miracles that were being beheld in Jerusalem were actually a fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, the bottom line of that prophecy was that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And from there, Peter went on to explain that this Jesus of Nazareth, who they crucified, was both Lord and Christ. Jesus of Christ of Nazareth was the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. Whosoever calls on his name shall be saved. Whoever recognizes him as Lord, having all authority in their life, and walk in his way, will be saved. As Peter was revealing this to them, you'll remember that he reminded them of messianic prophecies. One of those messianic prophecies was one stated by David. In verse 25 of Acts chapter 2, he says, "For David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, He is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope. I'd never caught that before. What was happening on Saturday? The body of Jesus rested in hope, anticipating Sunday. Many passages have come to my mind. I want to share a few of them with you that I believe expresses this hope that we have. Hope that although it might be Friday in our life, be assured that Sunday, S-O-N-D-A-Y, is coming. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 9 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I want you to notice with me the context in which these wonderful words are made. He says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Gird up the loins of your mind. It's Friday. But Sunday is coming. It's Friday. And evil men wax worse and worse. They call good evil and evil good. Many believe on him, but do not confess him because they are afraid of the peers they have chosen. It's Friday. Brethren dwell with unbelieving spouses and family members. Their heart aches, but their faith remains. They struggle because it's Friday. They fight the good fight of faith because they know Sunday is coming. Their faith does not waver because Sunday is coming. It's Friday. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life continues to bombard the children of God. But they fight off the fiery darts of the wicked one with the shield of faith as they wear the hope of salvation, because they know the Son's day is coming. It's hard. It's difficult. But in hope, we embrace our struggle because Sunday is coming. If you turn with me to 2 Timothy, I think Paul expresses Friday to us. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Holy Spirit led Paul to write this: know that in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, without self-control, fierce, savage, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of godliness. From such turn away. It's Friday. Recognize them, turn away from them, continue in faith. And then if you drop down to verse 13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We're told that in the days of Noah that the thoughts of men was only evil continually. So when you see the struggles that we have spiritually, the concerns that we deal with, keep in mind, it's Friday. But Sunday, the Son's day, is coming. Turn over here with me to Romans chapter 8. If there's one section of Scripture that I believe captures this point and tries to express it to us, it's found here. It's a rather lengthy reading, so if you want to read along, Romans chapter 8, verses 11 through 25. Brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The endeared Father. And the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, that's us, the created people, waits for the manifestation of the sons of God, the revelation of what we would be like in the resurrection. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Yes, we were made subject to the trials of this earth. Not willingly. We didn't ask for it. But by reason of Him who has subjected the same. Now watch it. In hope. God intends for us to endure the trials of the flesh and of the world. And as we endure, we do so by the hope that we have in God. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together, even until now. And not only they, not only the whole creation, but ourselves also, we who are the children of God, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. For what does a man see? For what a man sees, why does he still hope for it? But if we hope for what we do not see, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our infirmities. You remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. Let these words be a source of hope to you in your Friday of challenge. Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 18 through 20 says that by two immutable, unchangeable things, Verse 17, those two unchangeable things are the counsel of God and the oath of God, in which it is impossible for God to lie. We might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever. Our hope is anchored in Jesus Christ. As his hope was anchored in his Father. As his body rested in hope, so we live in hope, enduring our trials, our persecutions, our doubts. And as you're confronted with them, remember, it's Friday. But Sunday is coming. Live in hope with him now, and live with him in eternity hereafter. Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sin. Repent. For except you repent, you will perish. Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew chapter 10. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Mark 16 and verse 16. Abide in my word, and you will be my true disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. John 8, verses 31 and 32. You're here today struggling. As we just read from Romans chapter 8, we're all struggling. We're all groaning in this earthly temple. But you don't have to struggle alone. You can struggle with Christ at your right hand, giving you the strength, giving you the hope to look forward to the day of his return. Sunday. You know, another thought that's crossed my mind. You look at all the prophecies about Jesus, that he would rise from the dead on the first day of the week, that the church would come into existence on the first day of the week. Pentecost was always numbered 7 Sabbaths plus 1 day after Passover. So it always came on the first day of the week, the day we call Sunday. It's not going to surprise me if the day of his return will be on Sunday, but whatever day of the week it is, it will be Sunday. It will be his day. And we will be his forever. If we love him, trust him, and obey him. It's Friday. Are you enduring it in the hope that is provided in Christ? Or are you suffering alone? Jesus invites you to come unto me, all you who weary and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Have you been thinking about that? Is there some reason you haven't obeyed Christ yet? Are you ready to cast off whatever doubt you have and fully embrace and trust Him, live for Him? Have your sins washed away in the blood of Christ. So what Ananias said to Saul, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Will you embrace that hope this morning? Would you come as we stand and sing this song?